Hi, it's Mina Kimes, host of the ESPN Daily podcast. Wake up to the best story you'll hear all day. 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, where you get an inside look at the most interesting stories at ESPN, as told by the top reporters and insiders on the planet. The breaking news of SportsCenter with the deep dive storytelling of 30 for 30. Today's episode is one I thought you'd especially like. Please listen and subscribe to ESPN Daily wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Now it's Luka. Deep three over four! Luka magic!
He's just 20 years old, and he's barely played a full NBA season. But Luka Doncic is already dominating the league. Everyone should have seen this coming. But while Luka excelled in Europe as a teenager, ahead of the draft, there were doubts about whether his skills would translate to the American game. Today, why the skeptics were wrong, and how Luka's taking his game to new heights. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, December 4th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Indeed. All right, Mike, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So, Luka Doncic won Rookie of the Year last season. But even with that accolade, I don't think people expected him to take such a rapid leap to becoming an MVP caliber player. Now, 2 years ago, you wrote a story about him. The title was, "There's never been an NBA draft prospect like Luka Doncic." So you were early on him, but even you have to be surprised by what's happened.
We've never seen this from a 20-year-old kid averaging almost 30, 10, and 10, and his team is winning too. You know, they're in the top four or five of the Western Conference. What he's doing is unprecedented.
Mike Schmitz covers the NBA draft for ESPN.
And sure, we were extremely high on him, but I don't think even, you know, his biggest fans could have seen this coming.
Was there a moment this season when that really jumped out to you?
I was watching him against the Lakers, you know, the other day and sharing the court with LeBron. You'd think that you should be able to see maybe a sizable gap between a guy like that and a 20-year-old kid like Luka Doncic, and he completely dominated the game.
But a nice turnaround for the Lakers. Oh, a little step back for Doncic. It's pretty stuff.
Boy, he is just a baller, boy. He just flat can get the job done.
It was like a slow death for the Lakers. They were throwing, you know, blitzes at him, all these different pick and roll coverages, and he just picked them apart completely. Everyone saw the step back against LeBron.
Doncic backs up on the dribble. Now against James. Stepping back, deep, three, hit it! Right in LeBron's face!
His IQ and ability to just feel the game is at a completely different level, and he's blown me away.
When we were having lunch earlier, you said he was the best player on the court.
He was the best player on the court. In that particular game, he was the best player on the court.
No, you think he's better than LeBron.
Yes, he is by far better than LeBron. No, he's inching toward that. You know, when LeBron was that age, he was still kind of coming into his own as a perimeter shooter. He wasn't nearly as efficient as Luka's been this season. And that Cavs team was 42-40 in the East. You know, Luka has this team winning.
Well, let's back up and explain to people why you were even in a position to know who Luka Doncic was before the rest of the world. What do you do at ESPN?
So I cover the NBA draft, but there's a lot of different levels to that. So we really start following these kids, Jonathan Givony and I, when they're 15, 16 years old, whether it's USA Basketball here in the States or in Europe. So I'll go to the under-16 European Championships every summer. I spend probably two and a half months in Europe, maybe 3 months every year, and then also during the summers to check out all the FIBA stuff.
When was the first time you heard about Luka, and when did you first see him play?
You heard rumblings of this, you know, 14, 15-year-old kid practicing with grown men. He won MVP of the mini Copa over there with Real Madrid, and that's kind of when you first start seeing, you know, the videos. You have contacts over in Spain and Europe, and they're telling you, man, like, there's this kid. We've never seen anything like this. And I was so intrigued that I decided to follow him to Helsinki, Finland, and watch him with the Slovenian national team, and it was then that I really, you know, realized that, okay, this kid has a chance to be special.
When you first started looking into him, reporting on his backstory, his family, his upbringing, what did you find?
I found a kid that had been dominant at every stage and who really grew up with a basketball in his hands. You know, his dad was a really good player in his own right, played with Goran Dragic for a little bit in Slovenia, and he was the little kid, you know, the ball boy. He was mopping the floors. He was always around the guys.
So he was clearly passionate about basketball at a very young age.
When he was kind of first getting going in Slovenia with Olimpija Ljubljana, they had an off day, and I think it was a Saturday, and the coach told him, "Hey, Luka, like, go home, you know, play with your toys, like, relax, be a normal kid." And he said, okay, you know, yes, coach. And then the next day, the coach gets a call from his family saying, "Hey, like, we told him to relax, we told him to play with his toys, he's not having it. Like, he wants to come in, he wants to get up shots, he wants to play." And so this is always a kid who was in love with basketball. And then he just started dominating. Like, when they took him to his first practice with Olimpija in Ljubljana, his hometown, within 15 minutes, they moved him up to the next level and then up to the next level. And he was just shredding everybody. And then so eventually it came time to, you know, come together as a family and say, okay, what's the next step for this kid? Agrees to a 5-year deal with Real Madrid, and then kind of the rest is history.
So, full disclosure, I first talked to you about him when I was doing a story myself on Luka ahead of the draft, went to Spain to watch him play. And I think what I didn't understand until we spoke was the level of competition he was playing with as a teenager in the EuroLeague. Because, you know, he looked good, he looked like he fit in, but that level of competition to play, basically to be a teenager playing with grown men, is something that really set him apart from American kids.
No question. I think his biggest naysayers are maybe people who don't fully comprehend the level over there. Like, the EuroLeague is by far the second best league in the world. Like, he's the best player in the second best league in the world. Like, late clock, he's who they're running everything through.
Runs is all 5 points for Real Madrid right now.
And so once you kind of realize that and put that into context, you recognize, like, okay, this kid really does have a chance to be something great.
So American basketball fans, a certain kind of American basketball fan who's very devoted to the game, first learned about Luka Doncic during this Eurobasket tournament. Slovenia was playing Latvia, I believe, in the quarterfinals. And there were clips of Luka playing Kristaps Porzingis that, in certain corners of the internet, they went viral. What happened?
Yeah, so Luka basically took Kristaps on the perimeter.
Back outside to Doncic. It's good. Yeah, look at him celebrate.
A few different occasions, switched onto him, you know, in a stance, hit him with his patented step back going left, and then gave him a hesitation, blew right by him to his right, finished at the rim.
Doncic. Woo. Right at Porzingis.
He took it to him.
And I think answered a lot of questions from scouts at that time, like, can this guy go get a bucket against a long athletic defender if he switched out on the perimeter? And that's exactly what he did to Kristaps.
You mentioned the word athletic. Mm-hmm. I think that was the biggest question mark about him heading into the draft. And a lot of it was fair, you know, from watching him play. But then I think some of it also was influenced by stereotypes about European players. Mm-hmm. How do you think that impacted sort of the conversation around Luka ahead of the draft?
There's certainly a level of fear with international prospects as opposed to a college guy. You know, there's just more comfort having seen, you know, some kid at USA Basketball, having seen him at the Nike Hoop Summit, going to college practices. You just see those guys more. I do think that you need to go over there and see the level for yourself. And for the people who didn't have the luxury of doing that, it was a lot easier to say, okay, this guy's game's never going to translate.
Coming up, Cool Hand Luka prepares for the draft and meets skepticism. The fall before the draft, you were convinced, or at least thought he deserved, to be the number one pick.
Yeah, we were really high on him coming out of Eurobasket, and then even early in the EuroLeague year, like, he was, you know, he was off to a great start. And then, you know, he started to pack on a little bit of extra weight. I think he was battling a hamstring injury. He had some struggles. Teams are starting to go over there and say, man, like, I don't know, but, you know, we really like him, but do we love him? Like, is he a guy we're going to hand the keys to and say, you're our offense for the future? Because if you're drafting him, that's really what you're doing, right? And so I remember, you know, some scouts coming up to me at the pre-draft combine in Chicago and saying, like, I don't see it. Like, I don't see why you guys have him that high. You know, teams got a little bit scared off, I think, as the season went on.
I feel like I didn't help by highlighting his love of nachos in my story.
Yes, that didn't help. And what is it? What's the cafe? Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes, his love of Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah. And then he asks for Doble Queso.
Yes.
People started calling him Doble Queso.
Yeah, you didn't help. You killed his draft stock.
Good evening and welcome to the 2018 NBA draft.
So the draft rolls around. It's June 2018. What was that night like?
Well, I'm in New York and I'm sitting in the kind of like the production room. And, you know, Woj is there, Jonathan Givony, and they've been working on trying to figure out what's going to happen because everyone seemed to know that the Phoenix Suns were going to draft DeAndre Ayton, center out of Arizona. But after that, it was fairly open. You know, you had heard talks of Marvin Bagley, the big man out of Duke, potentially being linked to Sacramento. But, you know, Woj kind of started hearing, hey, it looks like the Mavericks might try to move up.
With the third pick in the 2018 NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Luka Doncic.
We've got Luka here, and I know you're wearing an Atlanta hat, but if a trade goes through, according to Woj, you will actually be headed to Dallas.
Yeah, I've been talking to them, you know. I've been talking to a lot of teams, especially Dallas. You know, they've been talking to me. They were so nice to me.
Perfect fit. Like, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Perfect guy to usher in, to kind of end the Dirk era, right? And Dirk is going to hand off the mantle and say, hey, like, you're the next guy.
Why do you think Dallas was the perfect landing spot for Luka?
I think the success of Dirk in a place like that and the city embraced him. And so they had the blueprint, right? It was an international star who was not nearly the player Luka was at that age. There were a lot more question marks about Dirk than there were about Luka. And they helped Dirk become one of the greatest of all time. And so they had that blueprint for Luka. I just think it was a perfect fit.
So how did his rookie season go?
Rookie season was good. It started off, I think, a little bumpy, just him coming in at the weight he did. You know, I believe close to like 250 pounds. You know, the guy was just out of shape. And I don't blame him. Like, if I had just won EuroLeague MVP,
yeah,
and I'm coming off of a European championship run, and I'm the king of Madrid, like, I would be setting that town on fire.
You'd be at the Hard Rock Cafe every night getting those nachos.
No, I would be at the club, bottle service. I would be tearing up, you know? And so I think he went on probably a little bit of a victory tour there and went on vacation and enjoyed some downtime and then got to Dallas. But the interesting thing I had always heard coming out of there was like, yes, he's overweight, but in pickup, he is destroying everybody. Mm. Like, destroying everybody. They're like, he might be our best player as a rookie before even playing a preseason game.
And then what happened once the regular season started?
Well, I saw a guy who really scored the ball a lot more effortlessly than I thought he would. And then we started, you know, comparing him to James Harden, which I think was a great comparison. When you look at just kind of the style, I saw a guy who just continued to get better. He played himself into shape. I always knew that the passing would translate. I knew he'd be a guy who could go get you a triple-double here and there. I didn't know he was going to be able to average over 20 points a game as a rookie.
And 2019 Kia NBA Rookie of the Year is
Luka Doncic.
So Dallas was not good. Mm-hmm. Not a good team. And mm-hmm. He was really carrying the load. Then they go out and in a perfect twist, or, you know, bringing things full circle, they trade for Kristaps Porzingis, his famed foe, mm-hmm. the opponent in the clip that first brought him to American shores. Do you think that made life easier for him?
I think anytime you have a 7'3 guy who can make threes like that and block shots, that's huge. But I do think that he's really improved. His body looks way better. He's trimmed up, and just the way that he's controlling the game, like, it looks like he's playing a different game than everybody else.
How so?
He's not, he just plays at his own pace. Like, he's slow, he's methodical, his face never changes. Like, he's playing a different sport than a lot of these guys. Like, Russell Westbrook, right? He's like, fast, 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 go, go, go. That's his style. Like, he's coming at you downhill 100% of the time. Whereas Luka is much more measured in his approach. Like, he's reading the weak side defense, he knows how they're coming at him, and he's already 2-3 plays ahead of everybody else. Like, he's dissecting teams without breaking a sweat.
He is currently averaging nearly a triple-double. Mm-hmm. He's at the top of the league in win shares, in value over replacement. I mean, you could pick any number of metrics. What do you think is about his game this season that's allowed him to vault to those heights?
I think the conditioning is a part of it, for sure. And then learning the NBA game, he adapts so fast. That's part of what makes him great. Teams started sitting on his step back, and he realized that. And so now that they're sitting on that step back, he's added a spin move to his right hand, or he's added a hesitation dribble, or he's added like a quick through the legs back to his right. And he has all these counters off of that move, and that's allowed him just to break defenses down.
So what do you think his ceiling is as a player?
It's hard to put kind of a limit on it.
Well, you already said he's better than LeBron. We have he's recording.
Clearly way better than... I'm waiting for all the aggregation to go down and my mentions to blow up. I think he has a chance to be one of the all-time greats. I really do. He's entering basketball at the perfect time where it's positionless and there's major value in guys with size who can pass, dribble, and shoot. And he has something special about him. Like, he's a special player. Like, the one moment that I didn't mention earlier that stands out most to me in my mind, above everything else. I'm in Belgrade, Serbia, okay? I want to go back and see one more final time, like, what he looks like. So I get to Belgrade, and I go to legendary gym. He's playing against Red Star. EuroLeague game, it's a club that he grew up watching. You know, like, this is a meaningful game for him, okay? A crazy crowd, and this dude comes out and he put on a show, right? 24 points, 9 rebounds, I think 4 assists, but at the very end, like it was the end of the game that kind of sealed the deal for me. So they're down either 1 or 2 and they run some play underneath out of bounds to get him an isolation at the top of the key. And he sizes the guy up, step back 3 to win the game in an incredible atmosphere, and then does like the little Jordan shrug on his way back down the court and like barely celebrates. And he's getting mobbed by everybody, right? Media, fans, family members, like everyone is around him and he's not fazed. And I'm looking at this dude and I'm just like, this kid is a star. Like, he's a teenage star already and he's not fazed by any of this. So remembering that, like, I almost wish I put even more value in that at the time. And because knowing that, it shouldn't be shocking what he's doing right now.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, the story of two athletes with one very unusual thing in common. Here's another story I want you to know. 1 year ago, professional hockey player Tyler Ennis, who is currently on the Ottawa Senators but was on the Toronto Maple Leafs at the time, was hit by a puck on his right ankle. When he went to a hospital in Toronto, he was shocked when he heard he could be out for the season with a displaced break, an injury that was much worse than he originally thought. But it turned out the medical staff had mixed up his x-ray with another Tyler Ennis, who also happened to be a well-known Canadian athlete with broken bones in his leg. Basketball Tyler Ennis, who has about 6 inches on hockey Tyler, was playing in Turkey at the time, and he had come home after being injured and gone to the same hospital. The two players had never met, but for a brief moment, the paths of their x-rays crossed. Now, I realize this sounds like the plot of a children's movie, and if it was, it would probably end with the two Tylers magically swapping sports powers. Get at me, Disney Plus. But this actually did happen. And according to a terrific story by TSN's Ian Mendez, it happens to these two guys all the time. Basketball Tyler, who's currently on the Raptors G League team, says he'll be at a restaurant and the waitress will see his name and ask him if he plays hockey. He keeps tabs on how the other Tyler Ennis is doing by checking his mentions on Twitter, which are usually full of people confusing them. Hockey Tyler told Mendez that the two athletes were both released by teams within 48 hours back in the summer of 2018. He was cut by the Minnesota Wild. Basketball Tyler was released by the Lakers. He also said that when the other Tyler was playing at Syracuse on their college basketball team, he was on the Buffalo Sabres and he wanted to trade jerseys with him but never got the chance. Well, they could get that opportunity in a few months. As Mendez points out in his story, on February 1st, the Senators are playing in Toronto and the Raptors G League team is playing at home, which means that the two Tyler's paths might finally intersect. Thank you for listening today. It's a special day here at ESPN. Once a year, we honor our friend and former colleague, Stuart Scott, by asking folks to support the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund at the V Foundation. You can learn more at v.org/donate. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.